supply-side policies. The supply side refers to factors affecting the quantity or quality of goods and services produced by an economy, such as the level of productivity or investment in research and development. What are supply-side policies? Supply-side policies are mainly macroeconomic policies designed to improve the supply-side potential of an economy, make markets and industries operate more efficiently, and thereby contribute to a faster underlying rate of growth of real national output. Most governments believe that improved supply-side performance is the key to achieving sustained growth without a rise in inflation. But supply-side reform on its own is not enough to achieve this growth. There must also be a high enough level of AD, so that the productive capacity of an economy is actually brought into play. Different approaches to the supply-side neoliberal free market approach. 1. Cut government spending and taxes. 2. Laws to control trade union powers. 3. Keep government intervention to a minimum. 4. Tough competition laws and laws to protect intellectual property. Interventionist approach. 1. State has key role in investing in public services and building critical infrastructure. 2. Tax incentives and welfare reforms can encourage more people into work. 3. Regional policy to boost underperforming areas/areas of high unemployment. 4. Perhaps some case for controlling trade to allow domestic industries to expand. Supply-side objectives. The key supply-side concepts to focus on are incentives, enterprise, technology, mobility, flexibility, and efficiency. 1. Improve incentives for people to find work, to raise employment and cut unemployment. 2. Increase labor and capital productivity. 3. Increase the occupational and geographical mobility of labor. 4. Increase capital investment and research and development spending by firms. 5. Promoting more competition and stimulate a faster pace of invention and innovation. 6. Provide a platform for sustained non-inflationary growth of an economy. 7. Encourage the start-up and expansion of new businesses. There are two broad approaches to the supply side. Firstly, policies focused on product markets, where goods and services are produced and sold to consumers, and secondly the labor market, a factor market, where labor is bought and sold. Supply-side policies for product markets. Product markets refer to markets in which all kinds of commodities are traded, for example the market for airline travel, for mobile phones, for new cars, for pharmaceutical products, and the markets for financial services such as banking and occupational pensions. Supply-side policies in product markets are designed to increase competition and efficiency. If the productivity of an industry improves, then it will be able to produce more with a given amount of resources, shifting the LRAS curve to the right. Privatization. Over the last 25 years, many former state-owned businesses have been privatized, that is, they have transferred from the public to private sector. Examples in Britain include British Gas, British Telecom, British Airways, British Steel, British Aerospace, the regional water companies, the main electricity generators and distributors, and the railways. British Rail was privatized in 1994, but the failure of Railtrack led to the creation of Network Rail, a not-for-profit company, in 2002. And in 2008 the government was forced into taking Northern Rock into state ownership following the collapse of the bank. In the space of a year other financial institutions were nationalized. The government now owns, or has significant stakes in, Northern Rock, Bradford and Bingley, Royal Bank of Scotland, Lloyds TSB, the East Coach Main Line, Rail. Privatization is designed to break up state monopolies and create more competition. The government also created utility regulators who have imposed price controls on many of these industries, and who are now overseeing the move towards competitive markets in areas such as gas and electricity supply and telecommunications. Deregulation of markets. Deregulation or liberalization means the opening up of markets to greater competition. The aim of this is to increase market supply, driving prices down, and widen the choice available to consumers. Competition should also lead to greater cost efficiency from producers, who are keen to hold on to their existing market share. Good examples of deregulation to use include urban bus transport, post and parcel delivery services, mortgage lending, telecommunications, and gas and electricity supply. Toughening up of competition policy. Most supply-side economists believe that competition forces business to become more efficient in the way in which they use scarce resources. This reduces costs which can be passed down to consumers in the form of lower prices. A tougher competition policy regime includes policies designed to curb anti-competitive practices such as price-fixing cartels and other abuses of a dominant market position, in other words, intervention to curb some of the market failure that can come from monopoly power. A commitment to free, open, trade. Trade between nations creates competition and should be a catalyst for improvements in costs and lower prices for consumers. The UK government is committed to an expansion of free trade within the European single market and also to negotiating a liberalisation of trade in the global economy as part of its membership of the World Trade Organization. For example, it wants to see further reforms of the Common Agricultural Policy, CAP, as a stepping stone to global trade agreements between Europe, the United States, and developing countries. Measures to encourage small business startups / entrepreneurship. The small businesses of today can often become the larger businesses of tomorrow, adding to national output, employing more workers, and contributing to innovative behavior that can have positive spillover effects in other industries. Governments of all political persuasion argue that they want to promote an entrepreneurial culture and to increase the rate of new business startups. Supply-side policies include loan guarantees for new businesses, regional policy assistance for entrepreneurs in depressed areas of the country, advice for new firms, capital investment and innovation. Capital spending by firms adds to aggregate demand, C+I+G+XM, but also has an important effect on long-run aggregate supply. Supply-side policies would include tax relief on research and development and reductions in the rate of corporation tax. Supply-side policies for the labor market. These policies are designed to improve the quality and quantity of the supply of labor available to the economy. They seek to make the British labour market more flexible, so that it is better able to match the labour force to the demands placed upon it by employers, in expanding sectors thereby reducing the risk of structural unemployment. An expansion in the UK's total labour supply increases the productive potential of an economy. That expansion in the supply of people willing and able to work can come from several sources, for example, encouraging older people to stay in the workforce, a relaxed approach to labour migration and measures to get non-working parents to actively look for work, Trade union reforms. Many of the traditional legal protections enjoyed by the trade unions have been taken away, including restrictions on their ability to take industrial action and enter into restrictive practices agreements with employers. The result has been a decrease in strike action in virtually every industry and a significant improvement in industrial relations in the UK. Increased spending on education and training. Economists disagree about the scale of the likely economic and social returns to be earned from higher spending on education, but few of them deny that investment in education has the potential to raise the skills within the workforce and improve the employment prospects of thousands of unemployed workers. The economic returns from extra education spending can vary according to the stage of development that a country has achieved. Government spending on education and training improves workers' human capital. Economies that have invested heavily in education are those that are well set for the future. Most economists agree with the move away from industries that required manual skills to those that need mental skills, that investment in education and the retraining of previously manual workers is absolutely vital. It should also be noted that improved training, especially for those who lose their job in an old industry, should improve the occupational mobility of workers in the economy. This should help reduce the problem of structural unemployment. A well-educated workforce acts as a magnet for foreign investment in the economy. Income tax reforms and the incentive to work. Economists who support supply-side policies believe that lower rates of income tax provide a short-term boost to demand, and they improve incentives for people to work longer hours or take a new job, because they get to keep the higher percentage of the money they earn. Cutting tax rates for lower-paid workers may help to reduce the extent of the backquote unemployment trap, where people calculate that they may be no better off from working than if they stay outside the labor force. Do lower taxes really help to increase the active labor supply in the economy? It seems obvious that lower taxes should boost the incentive to work, because tax cuts increase the reward from a job. But some people may choose to work the same number of hours and simply take a rise in their post-tax income. Millions of other workers have little choice over the hours that they work. Showing the effects of supply-side improvements in the economy. Supply-side factors often help to explain why it is that some countries grow faster than others. In a world of globalization, it is becoming clearer that maintaining and improving competitiveness is vital in achieving success in international markets. A rising share of GDP in most countries is devoted to international trade. Markets are becoming more competitive in those countries whose supply side lets those down can find a rising level of import penetration into their domestic markets and a weak export performance in goods and services. Supply-side improvements can also be shown using a production possibility frontier. New policies to promote innovation. The UK government last week began a long process of distributing its £200 million UK Innovation Investment Fund, IIFE, which will be focused on life sciences, digital and advanced manufacturing businesses. Lord Rayson, the science minister, also outlined plans to tackle the bureaucracy and red tape that creates a logjam for initial public offerings of high-tech companies, which have dried up in the last 2 years, creating problems for venture capital groups. Venture firms' lack of ability to find investors is hitting innovation in the UK, with the number of venture fundraisings among UK technology companies falling from 210 in 2005 to just 86 in 2010. In another bid to boost supply-side competitiveness, there will be the introduction of a 10% corporation tax on income arising from patents developed by UK companies, in an attempt to foster innovation, particularly on biotechnology and pharmaceutical patents in the UK. This type of tax is known as a royalty box and is attempting to attract more R&D. Currently, Netherlands has a similar 10% royalty box, whilst Belgium has the lowest royalty box in the EU with an effective corporation tax rate of 6.8%. Effectively, the taxable base becomes deductible by the income received from patents resulting from UK-generated R&D. This has been successful for Belgium, with over 170 biotech companies operate in Belgium, generating more than 16% of the European turnover in the sector. How can supply-side policies help in an economic recession? Recessions are often the result of negative demand-side shocks that hit real incomes of consumers and demand and profits for businesses. The consequences show through in higher unemployment, a fall in capital investment and an increasing rate of business failures. Most macroeconomic policies in a recession center on boosting demand and confidence in a bid to generate a rebound in output, jobs, and incomes within the circular flow. What role can supply-side policies play during an economic downturn? The key to answering this is to understand the range of policies that have a supply-side dimension or have supply-side effects. Here are some examples to consider. 1. Extra capital spending on an economy's critical infrastructure. Much of this might be funded by the government, for example, bringing forward some investment spending on hospital rebuilding, transport projects and environmental schemes. Other big capital spending projects might be partly financed by the private sector, perhaps as part of a public-private partnership. These projects are often labor-intensive and can create a sizable multiplier effect on demand. 2. Reductions in business taxation, for example lowering the standard rate of corporation tax, to stimulate investment, or reducing employers' national insurance contributions, to boost the demand for labor. Lower taxes for business research and development spending, or tax relief for inward investment projects also have a supply-side aspect to them. Note that 1 and 2 are examples of fiscal supply-side policies, where fiscal policy is being used to drive a stronger supply-side, rather than manage aggregate demand. 3. Reforms to the welfare system, to improve work incentives. 4. Policies designed at improving the quality of, and access to education, and training for all. This is particularly relevant when coming out of a recession, because many of the new jobs in an economy as recovery gathers momentum are not in the same industries as before a downturn. It is hugely important to prevent cyclical unemployment from turning into structural unemployment. 5. Measures to stimulate business startups. Seed corn finance and other help for new enterprises can provide a flow of new jobs as an economy picks up. 6. Policies to maintain the openness to trade and investment from overseas. Instead of choosing protectionist policies, politicians should understand the importance of trade and competition as a means of generating new demand and creating extra jobs. A strong supply side is vital if an economic recovery is to be sustained. The worry for Britain at the moment is that government finances are in such a bad state that higher taxes and cutbacks in state sector spending are inevitable, and this may hamper the ability of the private sector to deliver the investment and productivity improvements needed to create fresh growth after the recession. 2 aspects of the supply side. Research and productivity. 1. Research and development. Spending on research and development, R&D, in the UK has remained low as a percent of GDP, usually between 1.5 and 2% of national income. This backward research gap is a constraint on innovation and affects our global competitiveness. There are only 2 British firms in the top 50 global research spenders. Other countries, including Finland, Germany, and Israel, devote higher share of GDP to research. The biggest barriers to innovation are risk aversion, uncertainty about ability to exploit research and make a profit, a lack of high-skilled workers, and a lack of information on technology and markets. There is some evidence of higher R&D spending in the UK among smaller businesses in computing technology, biotechnology, and nanotechnology. The top EU companies for research are Nokia, Volkswagen, and Daimler. The top two UK firms are GlaxoSmithKline and AstraZeneca. The government has tried to boost R&D spending through tax credits, but critics say that this policy has been ineffective. Much R&D spending by UK firms takes place overseas. 2/productivity. Productivity is a measure of efficiency of factor inputs. The UK has achieved a sustained rise in productivity, although output per worker remains lower than many of our main global competitor nations. Labour productivity still lags the USA and Germany by more than 15%, and there are signs that output per person employed will fall in 2009. One area of concern is productivity in the public sector, which has tended to lag efficiency improvements in 1A1B1C1D, 2A2B2C2, 3A3B3C, 4A4B4C4D4E, 5A5B5C, 6A6B6C6D7A7B, 8A. Private sector businesses. Productivity has risen because of higher business capital investment, see the chart above. Impact of foreign direct investment, for instance, where new production plants operating on a large scale drive efficiency higher. Improvements in management and the expansion of productivity-related pay schemes. Strong economic growth, high demand means that capacity is used more fully. A chart shows that productivity growth has suffered during the recession. This is largely due to a fall in demand for goods and services, which has led businesses to scale back production and operate with a higher level of spare capacity. When output is low, workers are not being utilized to maximum efficiency, and this leads to a fall in output per worker.